I love the topic for today. So you want to own a golf course. I love that.
Yeah, I think it's a great, you know, just a little bit behind the scenes, but, you know.
Sit back and get ready to take off with Dynamic Golf. Welcome back, our Dynamic Golf listeners. I'm your co-host, Tim McElvanna, and with me today is Sean Klotz. Today, we've got a great subject, Sean. Why don't you enlighten us a little bit of what we're going to kind of talk about today and have a little discussion with.
Yeah, T-Mac, good to talk to you as always. Great to talk to our listeners from Dynamic Golf. You know, we have so many different topics that we can talk about in the golf world. You know, what Scottie Scheffler did over the weekend is just amazing. As I mean, he just comes out again, T-Mac. He's got this new grip, which isn't really that new, right? It's a different take on a current grip. And he just dominates. He just dominates again. He just hits it longer and straighter and hits it closer and putts it better.
You know,
and another win.
Absolutely. And he's winning by 4 or 5 strokes on the PGA Tour, which is a pretty good win. Against the top 20 in the field. I mean, we're not about, you know, playing against your local Muni. I mean, we're talking about the top 20 in the field, and he's beating them by 4 or 5 strokes with a new grip.
Top 20 in the world.
Right? Yeah, like, top 20 in the world.
Right, top 20 in the world. Yeah, like you said, he's not playing me, you, and Ron Crump. He's playing Justin Thomas and the boys. And it's funny you mentioned that, and this is even our topic, which is great. I'm glad we get into this just a little bit because it's a good preamble. But talking to my brother, you know, last night, brother's PGA Pro, he's been on the show a couple times.
And what
he's doing now, T-Mac, it reminds me of what Tiger did at Pebble Beach in the U.S. Open. He won the U.S. Open by 15 shots. They're all playing the same golf course. They're all playing the same tees. He's not playing further up. Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
He's winning by, and you could see it on Saturday. I happened to watch just a little bit of Saturday in between some football stuff, and you see him kind of creeping up a little bit, right? Because Justin Thomas was there, and Justin Thomas had the lead. And then I didn't even watch much of Sunday until the last three holes because you just kind of know, okay, well, if he's within one or two, he's probably going to win. And he's, like you said, 1 by 6, maybe 5?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it's an impressive win against a field like that. I mean, I was thinking, you know, when I first turned it on the weekend, I'm thinking, oh, this could be a great one for a playoff or, you know, one or two. And he just, I mean, by the back nine, you're just watching, you know, dominance, basically. And I think we need to kind of take a moment and say, he could be, you know, in time, if he keeps this stuff up, he could be one of the greats as well.
Yeah. I mean, his resume the last 2 years is ridiculous. And I certainly never thought I'd see somebody dominate the tour like Tiger did. Now, again, he's still got a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, Tiger was the number one player in the world for maybe 8 straight years or something. Some number of weeks was just incredible. So, he's still got a way to go. He's kind of like Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady. He's putting down some unbelievable benchmarks, but, you know, still go. But it's fun to see. And I know there's some not criticism. I mean, he's just, you know, wow, he's too boring. Yeah, that's what we're all striving for.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Boring golf is good golf.
I mean, we want to play boring golf. That's our goal. We want to hit it in the middle of the fairway. We want to hit the middle of the green or close to the green, and we want to put it in and go. And that's what we should strive for. People like Seve, right?
Yeah.
Think about sort of the good short game people in the world. Mickelson, unbelievable short game. Didn't hit as many greens as Tiger did. Tiger, you know, Tiger hit a lot of greens. Also great short game, but you get my point. Like, short game's great, but if you don't have to rely on short game, that's even better.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Scottie kind of reminds me a little bit like Jack Nicholson, and that Jack Nicholas he's just fairways, greens, fairways, greens.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people got used to many years of seeing, you know, Tiger, Phil, and even Seve out in the trees making these spectacular shots that, you know, obviously are highlight reels all the time. But if you can just put it in the fairway and put it on the green and beat people by 5, that's the way to win.
Yep. I think Bryson's figured that out a little bit lately. I mean, he's, you know, he is the just such a unique talent and developed his talent over the last 5 years. Like, he can hit it so far, so he puts it in places that the golf course was the architect wasn't thinking about, to be a spot for a landing area. So he's got, the length, but he's also really become a good putter. And the wedge shot he makes to the wedge shot out of the bunker that he makes to win the U.S. Open this year against, like, he that's you could stand there all day long with that bucket of balls and not hit that shot. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting 2025 coming up for I think some of these guys are Xander and Justin. It was good to see Justin Thomas play well, and some of these guys, Rory's still Rory. He's not going away. I would love, would love for both tours to be closer, playing in more events together, and we'll see how that all shakes out. But yeah, there's just a lot of good golf in the world, and you should watch them. You should watch the girls. You should watch the ladies play. See how they do it, because it's so much more relatable to us. I'm getting excited thinking about it, going hit balls right now in the 38-degree weather here in Massachusetts.
Absolutely. And then we've got the Masters creeping right around the corner, and everybody's getting into place for it. So I find it, the turn of the year is always an exciting part. You're waiting for the what is it, the AT&T Pebble Beach, in January. It kind of gets your juices going, and then you're looking at
Bay
all this
Hill,
talent.
right? Bay Hill and all that stuff. So no, it's going to be exciting. So switching the gears or whatever for the topic of the day, I think this is going to be a good one, T-Mac. This is almost one where you'd like to get some, audience interaction, and maybe we'll get some people to start sending us some questions through YouTube or our online platform type of thing. I bottom line, we were talking about this. So you want to own a golf course. That's the topic of the day. You want to own a golf course. Meant to be a little bit sarcastic when we say it that way. I know that we've both got some different stories of where we've been at, where we're currently at, what's currently happening at our golf courses. Just there's so many things that go into owning any business, no question about it. But golf courses are unique because they're so predicated on weather, first of all. You own a business indoors, you're selling electronics in a store, you don't have to worry about weather. So I think that's a big thing. I think there's, employees, to get the right mix of employees, which is, kind of the restaurant business model. There's so much more technology now than there was 10 years ago, 15 years ago in our businesses.
Absolutely, and it's developing all the time.
But whether it's more, you're kind of more specific to teaching. I do teaching as well. I do quite a bit of teaching, not as much as you, but during this winter time I was going to. So we got to be up to date on all the technology of that part of it. Point of sale systems, insurance. Like, there's just so many tentacles of owning a golf course that I think it's an interesting topic for us to explore a little more.
Correct. And I'm sure you've heard it from a member or a buddy of yours that goes, "Man, if I own this golf course, I would do X, X, and X," right? And you just look at it and go, "Yeah, that, the $1 million is going to get you the golf course, and then the dream that you have is going to be the other 2 million that you're going to need." And then people just don't concept. They just think that once they own it, they'll just magically make it happen.
Money's gonna roll in, right? The irrigation leak won't happen.
Correct. Weather's going to cooperate.
The carts aren't gonna be damaged by the members or by the club of players. Like, yeah, the it's just there's just so many factors. I think I think one of the things, and again, we want to keep this as like a broad topic for kind of an insight into what we're going through, but at the same time, kind of like, it's just a indicator of what can happen at any golf course in America. Talk to us. I mean, Florida, Tampa, you guys had some storms that came through in September and October. And how did that, I mean, personally, how did that affect your teaching? And then more big scale, how has that affected Silverado Golf and Country Club over the last, what, 3 months now?
Yeah. So we've had the unfortunate factor of having a couple big storms, hurricanes come through with a ton of rain. With the community building up what it is, water's going in places that it never has. Silverado itself is still underwater somewhat.
This is December. This is December 9th. That storm was in September. Is that right?
It was in
Ballpark?
October. I want to say
October.
the beginning of October. But to
Okay.
be honest with you, the course was already flooded prior to that, with a
Okay.
storm that came through there earlier, and they were starting to make some serious progress. But when you get whatever it was, 16 inches or something like that in a
Right.
24-hour span, there's no blueprint. There's no, hey, this is what we need to do if we get this amount of rain. There's
Right,
nothing to do there. So Silverado itself I would have to say, is probably right now written off as a big loss. They lost all their equipment,
Wow.
their carts, their all the equipment, their tractors and everything like that. And that doesn't even count for the damage that was done to the greens and all the other places where the water still lays.
Yep.
And
Is it operational now? Is there people playing now or no?
no, there's nobody playing, but they still have
Wow.
Brian out there, keeping him busy mowing, I think, five or six or seven greens
Wow.
out there to kind of keep it
Wow.
possibly.
That's amazing.
But
That's amazing.
the big thing for me is that I used to teach there on the driving range. People love to see their balls, go through the air and all that. And it has significantly impacted my income. Not that people don't want to learn at a studio, but there is a lot of the old, I want to hit a ball off grass, I want to see it go in the air. And I get that. I really do. There's a reward of knowing that I hit it well and I got to see it go well instead of into a screen.
Right.
But it has been a big transition for me, to teach in a studio. And now when I find myself out on a range, it is a quite different feeling. Because you get used to all that technology that we talked about, being in the studio. So it has definitely impacted me, but we're figuring out new ways to make income on it. That's for sure.
Oh, it's, I mean, so I'll start with the business side, then I'm going to go back to your personal side. So the business side is that, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but I was the general manager and the head pro at Silverado for 13 years, basically from 2008 to 2020. Worked for Mr. Smith, and you worked with me for, well, we worked together 5 years,
Yeah,
maybe
about
five
5
or
years
six,
there,
something
yeah.
like that. And worked in the golf shop together, and we did the daily things of running the Zephyrhills Open, running the different leagues throughout the wintertime, all the different parties we had, all the different rangers and starters that worked there. And it was just such a good family, right? I mean, that was the thing of that golf course.
It was a farmer's
Brantley was
family.
the
That's how I always thought of it. It's a farmer's family. That's how I always thought about it with Brantley.
We didn't work on Easter, didn't work on Christmas, obviously, didn't work on Christmas or Easter, because that was the direction that Brantley's wife Susan said, hey, this is the family time. We really respected that and appreciated that. Your kids were, you only had one at that time. Like, your kids were young, your family was young, growing. My family was, kind of getting, we were kind of in the middle of their ages type of thing. And again, we've talked to, Brantley's passed 2019, 18, I think, actually, sorry, it's 2018 is when Brantley passed.
Yes, sir.
Just one of the pillars of the community. I mean, bottom line, right? His
Absolutely.
dad, his brother, buddy, and they developed Silverado. And the whole story is that when the county came to his dad, to Brantley's dad, in like the mid 80s, and said, hey, we're going to build this road in front of your property. And they said, you can't. If you like, we've had this property since 1940. The water's supposed to come from the high part of the county, and it's supposed to go down through the golf course, or there wasn't even a golf course at that point, through this farm area, the agricultural side, and it's supposed to go out to Geiger Road and down and keep going down towards Hillsborough River.
Correct.
And the county, you're one small business owner versus the county who's looking at development, and you don't win. And right, I mean, that's pretty much what happened. And that road Geiger Road acts as a dam for the water. I
Yep.
think that's the best way to describe it to people.
Yep.
So,
And then they
yeah,
put
it
Island
wasn't it.
Boulevard in there, and then it really
Oh,
bowled up.
islands.
Yeah.
Sorry, that exactly Island Boulevard. You're right. My bad. But it was Geiger Road at one point. I mean, going down the side road. You're right. I apologize. But yeah, so Island Boulevard gets just blocks up the water, and it's funny because even when I worked there for Humidor from 2000 2003 when Brantley had sold the property,
Yeah.
then I come back and work for Brantley. So we had been through, I'd been through two, we call them floods at Silver Oaks, Silverado,
Yep.
during that 2000 to kind of 2020 time frame. 19, yeah, but nothing to what you guys have experienced over the last 10 weeks.
No. I mean,
I mean, not even close.
yeah, I mean, at this point, I think they're talking about the county coming in, purchasing it and turning it into a recreational park.
Oh my goodness.
So
Oh my
that's the kind
goodness.
of rumors that I'm hearing. I've heard retention area as well. I've heard,
Wow.
so there's a lot,
Oh.
but I really feel for the homeowners.
Yeah.
They love that little golf course. They supported that little golf
Yeah.
course.
Yeah.
And they bought into that community because they love that little golf course. And it's
Yeah.
a real shame to see that industry, that golf course go.
Yeah.
So it's a real loss to the community and to the economy here for sure.
No. I mean, and that was the, again, getting back on topic, like we had kind of put together a group of, investors to
Yeah.
purchase the golf course from Brantley. Brantley, me and Brantley had talked for 12, 14 years about, and always kind of in a kidding fashion about trying to buy the golf course from him, and me and Jeff Sweet, the superintendent, we're gonna do that, and it didn't work out for multiple reasons. Brantley always wanted too much, always thought it was worth a little more than I thought it was, and I had the numbers, I had the P&L statement from the past 12, 15 years, and I kind of knew what we could generate, and without the emotion part of it, the price type of thing. So it didn't work out, and and now retrospect, you're like, oh my gosh, if that had worked out, what would have
Where would you be at
again,
now, right? I mean,
yeah,
you'd probably be
because
stuck with a mortgage of some sort and a piece of property that you don't know what you're going to be able to do with it, which I'm sure the new owner is probably uncertain as well.
it's so sad because now you come at it from the employee side, from your
Yeah.
particular side, like for we generated a lot of revenue money, charity money for the people in that community through that golf course. That's one of the things I look at.
And I think you should kind of touch a little bit on that, how much the charity dollars that you were able to generate. I mean, you put a lot of functions together for that community, from Meals
It
on
was
Wheels to what was it, the Thomas
Thomas Promise,
Promise. I mean, what a
the
huge and
Rudiman,
yeah.
right? The Rudiman tournament, right? Which was the children's hospital down in St. Pete, we gave money to. Obviously, all the little, softball league tournaments and church tournaments. It was, I counted it, T-Mac. So I was did the, I did the. I was sitting in church one day, literally, and the pastor says, "What are you going to do outside the four walls of this church to make a difference in the world?" That's where that whole thing came from. That's exactly. I'm not overstating that. I'm telling you the truth. That's exactly where that came from. And I went to Brantley and I said, "Hey, I got an idea on kind of a, we'll call it a business model for lack of a better term. I'd like to start giving back to the community." And he was so on board with it. Couldn't have
Yeah.
done that without his, right? Without his blessing,
Yeah.
going to show you who Susan and Brantley were. And I said, "Hey, there's a way for the golf course to make money, but also there's a way for us to be able to golf course make money and give out some money throughout the community." Zephyr Hills is one of the, that's partially why I drove there for 13 years from Tampa, from Brandon, because it's probably one of the most giving communities that I know of
Yeah.
in that area. They just take care of their own. All the businesses do.
Yeah.
Kevin Barr and Wade Thomas and John Kinsman, and I'm going to leave out 17 different people, so I don't want to keep going. But I mean, it's the community was what it was,
Yeah.
and it is what it is.
Yeah.
So we, the Ruderman, David Ruderman tournament, which again, was a NASCAR driver that was nephew of Brantley. So it was $117,000 in the first 2 years that we did this. Each year was around 115 grand, and then Ruderman got big. The Ruderman tournament got big, and that was like $38,000 in just a one fell swoop. And when he was like 2012, 2013. So, yeah, where you're right. Where does Meals on Wheels go now? Where do the churches go? Where do the
Thomas
Rotary
Promise,
tournaments
yeah.
go? Right? Yeah, Rotary and Chamber of Commerce and
And
yeah. So and then,
I'll be honest with you, they're not,
yeah.
I haven't seen any of these scrambles or charity events. And
Yep.
to be
Yep.
honest with you, the people that do kind of run it here in the community, there's a little bit more greed than there was giving, let's put it that way.
Yep. Yep.
And that's something that, I kind of, I really wish that the community would kind of get back to a little bit, because there's a lot of people in this community that need our help, especially after these storms, that's for sure.
I was going to say it just got exacerbated from what's happened over the last 10 weeks, I'm sure. So,
Yeah.
no. And then personally, like you said, one of our best attributes as golf pros, PGA pros, is flexibility. We have to be able to be flexible in our environment, because
Yeah.
you remember going to the education classes, T-Mac, when you're getting your like class, like level one, level two, and they've got these nice little videos and docu like videos of, well, what are you going to do in this situation? Mrs.
Yeah.
Smith has has broken the shaft on her club, and she's playing in a tournament in 2 hours. How are you going to fix that situation? Like, it just sounds so, perfect.
Absolutely. How are you going
That's
to diffuse the situation? How are you going to handle this? I mean, I think we watched probably in the three, sections that we had to do, at least for me, 90% of it was how do you handle a situation where I really wish it was a little bit more like, how do you run a golf club? Because I'm going to need to know that too.
It doesn't happen that simply and succinctly. No.
But I thought you
So,
brought up a really good point earlier, is that, golf courses are one of those things that if you went to Target or Walmart, you don't negotiate the price or complain about the employees too much or say, hey, that guy shouldn't be folding a shirt in aisle two. But you get to a golf course and people, they get a little opinionated, I guess you could say.
Oh, you're
Wouldn't you
being
agree
gentle
with
again,
that?
Tina. You're being gentle. You're being so nice. You're being diplomatic. Everybody's got an opinion. They all know how to grow grass.
Right.
They all know what the best price is or the price that they should pay. And it's not, obviously it's not industry wide. There's some golf courses that are super appreciative of everybody that works there and don't have opinions. But I don't know if I've been to one that I haven't heard somebody say to me, "Hey, Sean, you know what you should do?" Right? Dot dot dot. Like,
Yeah,
it just doesn't matter. Like,
fill in the blanks. You know.
yeah. And he could be a super successful CEO of a restaurant chain. He could be somebody who can grow grass in his backyard, so he thinks he can grow grass on number seven and the green. So you listen, and it's part of our job to listen, and you try to nod, and then you definitely, but there's just a yeah, there's certainly golf is challenging in that way of also the negotiating, haggling might be a better term, of like, you put the price out there for the putter at 199. What's my price? No, that's, again, I don't go to Target and say, "Hey, I see that it's 329 on this. What can I pay for it?" No, that
What's the
doesn't.
best deal you'll give me for this?
Right,
How about the
the
price
other guy.
on there? How about
Yeah,
that? That is the best
we've
price.
actually, sir, we've already had this conversation prior to putting the price tag on the item. So we've already figured that part out. If you don't want it, it's no problem, no hard feelings. Because then if you give them you tell them it's the same price, "Oh, I'm gonna just leave." Okay, great. It's not emotional. Just walk away. It's okay.
You can walk away. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody wants to negotiate. Everybody thinks they get a separate deal, as you think, and, yeah. and stuff like that. Yep. And there's just that emotional attachment to a golf course, you know, compared to your local, you know, whatever store it is. So
you got to pivot now. You got to pivot to, and I totally understand what you're saying, especially because I taught outside for 15 years and then I taught, you know, exclusively inside for 3 years. Yeah. And now I'm teaching kind of both. And I would, you know, whatever, not advice to you, T-Mac, is just the advice is that, or the thought process. There you go. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I sound like the customer.
No, that's great. Hey,
here's what I would do. But I do have a little experience in this world.
Yes.
You know, the technology is being embraced by everybody, meaning the more people that, you know, they want their numbers, they want their video, they want their things, they want to see what they're doing. And if you can become the expert, which you already are the expert in the field, mm-hmm. they're going to come to you anyways. And you just embrace the fact that when they say to you, well, I want to see what it does outside. Okay, totally understand that. No problem. We can go to the range where it's a $10 bucket, or we can use the $20,000 piece of equipment that they use on tour to evaluate your swing.
Yeah.
So you tell me which one you think is going to be more effective, and then we'll go from there. But
and the big thing is explaining what the numbers are to our mm-hmm. students. You know, mm-hmm. they look at all these things, and it probably looks like a Mack truck, you know, dashboard to them. And they're like, what are all these buttons, you know? And then you explain, you know, there's out of the 20 that you see there, there's probably three or four that we're really zoning in on. And once they do that, they start to have an understanding and stuff like that. So
funny you say that. What I've done, T-Mac, in the past 3 months, I've been starting to teach a lot more indoors because of the weather, obviously, up here.
Yeah.
It's something I didn't do until the last 3 months, but at my studio at the store, I would put up my kind of 8 key numbers because I thought I wanted to really look smart and intelligent to people and explain what launch angle was and explain what ball speed is. If you come in for a lesson now, T-Mac, I might put 4 numbers up. It might be club path, face angle, carry distance, and maybe ball speed, but I'm trying to get people to focus on the 4 most important things instead of having the other numbers up there.
Yeah.
And if you get somebody, you know, you get somebody who's okay, well, the height is low. Well, then you can go back and click the little height thing. It still records all the numbers for everything.
Yeah.
But you just don't confuse them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The other one I use is angle of attack a lot.
Perfect.
That's the one that I kind of use the most, because once you explain to people that you got to hit down with irons and up with a driver, it's like a light bulb goes off.
Yeah. So, and again, you know, we all do different. I use low point more than attack angle because low point is a physical number of in front of or behind.
Yes.
Measured in inches, easier for them to see it on the ground rather than trying to feel what -2 down feels like.
Yeah.
But just different again, you know, just different. So. Yeah, I know we're getting a little off topic, but I think it's all part of the same topic. We're all talking about how to make golf courses better. And
pivoting just a little bit, I wanted to ask you a question. I was very interested in this. I was on the Facebook page there at Oakley Country Club, and it seems like you guys had a little excitement, a little fire. What happened over there? What's going on at my country club, Oakley?
I mean, again, 1895, you know, 1898 was when this place was incorporated in 1895, and the date is 1898 as far as when it was started, and Donald Ross being there in 1900. And there's a ton of history here at Oakley. I mean, it's just the way it is, you know, first Donald Ross design. So Friday morning around 4 a.m., again, you want to own a golf course.
Yeah, here you go.
4 a.m., just like they do at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. They don't always happen between 9 and 5. That's not the way things happen. Typically, golf. I would say also the other thing I'd say about owning the golf course is I don't think I've ever had a computer problem or something bad happen to me between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. on a Monday through Friday, right?
Like
all of our stuff seems to break. The greens mower goes out at Saturday morning when the guy's trying to get ready for the 144 player golf tournament, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not the way we work. It's not the way our world goes. So unfortunately, capital U, on Friday around 4 a.m., somewhere in that ballpark, there was a electrical fire in one of the closets upstairs at Oakley Country Club.
Hmm.
That's all I know. I don't really know anything else. I just know that there was some type of fire that was started from this particular room. Thankfully, the sprinkler suppression system worked perfectly to get rid of the fire or to stop the fire, or at least minimize it until the firefighters got there from the two neighboring towns.
Great.
And they did their job perfectly, which is to get rid of the fire, stop the fire. So when you the fire damage minimal, the water damage and the rest of it is pretty major,
Yeah.
pretty major. So the way that water works is it goes to the bottom. So water starts at the third floor, and then it goes down through the ceiling to the second floor, and then it goes down the ceiling to the first floor.
Yeah.
So there's essentially half of the building of this country club that was built 7 years ago, that's inoperable, and it can't occupy it. And
Wow.
again, for purposes of today, we'll just go with the idea that you got it December 7th, December 6th. You've got, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars of revenue coming through the next 3 weeks with Christmas parties. You've got, you've planned your office Christmas party at Oakley Country Club for months to have your employees come in and have a nice time. You have a gala, whatever that is. I believe I don't know if it's 125 years in the making. All I know is that typically 300 members show up every December for a event where they give out the year-end prizes. That's
Big.
arguably, a $100,000 night for the club. It's all gone. Like it's all there's no, you can't operate. You're done.
Yeah.
So we, the superintendent on Friday morning, we went and kind of toured the place right after the fire, like around 10 o'clock. And him and his crew, luckily, because they get there at 5 a.m., they were able to get into the building after the firefighters were there, and they were able to recover, I mean, historical documents going back to 1903.
Yeah.
A lot of Ross Library type of stuff.
Books and stuff like that, I'm sure, right?
Pictures, books,
History.
papers that are all, they're all, when you go into the big rotunda ballroom area, they're all on different tables, floors, seats right now, being literally dried out and aired out, because the water got so. It's a sad, again, you want to own a golf course, you don't
Yeah.
expect a monumental, I don't even know how to describe that flood that happened up at down at Silverado, like you said, 16 inches of rain in 12 hours,
An act of God, I
historic levels.
guess.
Yeah, never happened before. And then you got this, a fire that just happened, and it's just stuff happens in the world, and insurance is great, and that will probably take care of this. But how do you take care of the staff members who are down there? Expecting to work currently for the next 3 weeks before Christmas. They're
Depending on that for
compensated
the
with the,
holidays, right? I mean, a lot of
that's what I was going
employees
to say.
depending on that, right?
That's what I was going to say, T-Mac. They're compensated for their hours that they work. That's how they normally, pay their bills. And then Oakley is one of the most giving, generous clubs I've ever been at. So when you and me and our wives go down to the pub for dinner, on a Tuesday night, we're probably going to give the server an extra 50 or whatever for, hey, thanks for your help all year.
Yeah.
It's all gone. It's all gone. So there, I'm not trying to be dire about it, but it's the reality of what it is to own a business,
Yep.
own a golf course, own your facility. To think about it 24/7.
Yep.
There's no off time when you don't think about your facility.
Yep.
It was me at my golf store. You are, and you're just, we'll pivot, we'll change, it'll become good in the future. But right now they're talking about, I mean, excessive damage. I don't want to give a number,
Yeah.
and excessive time frame for the golf course being closed. I don't want to give a number because we don't know. We just don't know. But, So I think it's been a great topic for the people to hear the
Well,
inside
I'd
scoop.
like to have one more question with you. How
Yeah.
has this affected you teaching and moving forward with this fire? What has this done for your brand and your business there?
Yeah. So in a great way, basically around November 15th, I had started a program called the GIFT program, which was Game Improvement Focused Training. That was my little acronym.
I love it.
Game Improvement Focused Training. And it was a 5-lesson package. And the mandate was that you would come in for a golf lesson, and then I would give you homework to go do in between the lessons, specifically geared towards TrackMan. So you're going to work on attack angle, like you talked about. We're going to work on club head speed, whatever, and then you're going to come back for your second lesson probably 2 weeks later, and then you're going to keep that rotation for around a 10-week period. So in a great way, I sold 50 of those packages. So I had people that were,
Great.
I've been giving, yeah, I've been giving 10 to 15 lessons a week in the past 4 to 5 weeks, and TrackMan's shut down right now. It's closed.
Did
Yeah,
was the
so.
TrackMan ruined at all or anything like that, or was
No,
it safe?
luckily it was on that side of the road, or that side of the building, that was not affected.
Okay.
So that whole room is fine, but you still need the CO, you still need the certificate of occupancy to get back in the building. Right? And again, this just happened Friday, this is Monday. Like there's going to be some things that are going to take place hopefully over the next 2 to 3 months that'll kind of rectify this. And again, like we talked about, TMAC, one of the best things we do is we pivot. So we're flexible. So Scott Johnson, the head pro, myself, we talked about, well, we can, once the holidays are done inside the pro shop, we can put the screen up inside the pro shop, move the displays, and put TrackMan in the back, and kind of make, we can turn it into a hitting studio and at least give people the opportunity to come in and practice and, take some instruction and kind of get ready for the season. Because again, I think that's, I keep going back to that, but that's what we do as PGA members. We are, you have to be, you can't be black and white.
Absolutely. You got to, as you said, you got to learn how to pivot. I think
Yeah.
a lot of people don't understand or don't think of us as business people, but in
Right.
the world of business, if I had a competitor or a company go down, these companies have to turn and pivot and turn to a different product or a different, resource. And that's what we do. We find a
Yeah.
problem, we hit it, and then we have to turn that into, making, lemonade out of lemons.
Why, the reason you're a good instructor is because you don't give the student one way to grip the golf club, one way to make a backswing, one way to make a downswing. You have to, as an instructor, be able to give maybe the same message 5 different ways,
Yes.
and one of those ways is going to click with that particular student.
Yes.
So it's really just a microcosm of what we do in our daily lives of, like,
Yes.
if you just taught, hey, I've got to teach Ben Hogan's grip, and you can't move on until you get master Ben Hogan's grip, no good. You
Yeah.
know, if you only took the club back a certain way, if you only made a pivot, obviously there's parameters. Obviously, we want to make sure we start our downswing with our lower body, whatever the thing is. Like, there's parameters, but there's different ways to explain that to people. And like I said, microcosm of our daily life in a golf pro world of, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jones walk up, and the first tee is full, and it's 9:15 in the morning, and Mr. Jones, would you like to go down number 10? Well, yeah, that'd be great. Can I get started? Yep, absolutely. We get started down there. We got an 11:15 that's available on the front nine. So when you make the turn at 11:15, golf course will be clear. Like, it sounds so simple, but it's also not simple. It's those things that, you know, make the experience of the whether it's the customer in the public setting or the member in the private setting,
Yeah.
make them enjoy their day.
You've got to make looking, you got to make it look like thinking outside the box is a normal reality.
Right.
Right? You've got
Yeah.
to have that. And people just, "Okay, that's great." And you know what goes behind the scenes to make that happen, but you never
Correct.
let them see that, right? It's like
No.
a vaudeville show
No.
almost.
Yeah. No, you're once you send, you know, typically this is done prior to, but you kind of call superintendent and say, hey, can I get somebody off the back nine at 9 o'clock? And
Very sheepishly, too.
Yeah, so I mean, again, there's the team that like it's a teamwork of a lot of different people working together to get the
Yes.
superintendent on board. Oh yeah, my guy's almost done finishing up cutting hole number 11. Just give him 5 more minutes. Yep, absolutely great, no problem. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, why don't you go hit a couple putts on the practice green, head down to the first tee or 10th tee by 9:15. You'll be perfect.
And I think you
Absolutely.
bring up a great point, at least for if you're going to own a golf course or run a golf course, is I think in one word is communication right there, right?
Yep.
Communicating with your staff, communicating with your members, and communicating with your shareholders or owner. You know,
Right.
that's
That's
huge.
it. Yep.
So,
Good stuff, sir. It's a good one.
yeah, absolutely. So I enjoyed the chat. Anything else you'd like to bring on up?
No, I think it's just when you walk into the golf shop, when just be, if you can be, on that patient side, on that understandable side. Maybe we gave some people a little bit of insight into kind of why we make decisions when they walk in the door, that things are not always, sort of just the black and white. There are some parameters. And again, like any other business people, like 95% of these people are great, just awesome, excited to be there, and appreciative of what we do. And yeah, just it's enjoy your day. Don't get stressed, don't get frustrated at your day. Enjoy the day. Our goal is to make your day better. That's our goal
Absolutely.
every day,
Absolutely.
so
So, want to
good.
thank all our listeners. If you like this, please think about liking or subscribing to the channel. It really does help. And once again, thank you, Sean. Really enjoyed the chat here. I think people got a great insight of the pitfalls and downfalls or the traps of owning a golf course when it just seems so easy, right?
That's it. Exactly, T-Mac. Yep. Great talking as always, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you and have a great day.
Doing, I'm right here, sir. How are you doing?
Doing great, doing great. So, are you in the car, I take it? Can you hear me, Sean?
Yeah, give me one second, sir. Hang on.
Okay, yeah.
Right, I'm in the car driving. I had the alarm set for 10 o'clock, made sure I called you and didn't want that going off during the interview. So, anyways,
Gotcha. Where are you driving to?
I am actually going to hit some golf balls in a heated facility, kind of heated, like heat behind you. Is currently less than 40 degrees, I think, on the temperature gauge. That's just what we do here in Massachusetts. 42, 42 currently. Yep.
Getting used to it, huh? I bet that's a big change from being
Yeah.
in old Florida, isn't it?
I am not enjoying this part, sir.
You guys had some black ice up there, what, about 2 weeks ago or so, or something like that, I heard?
We've had some snow the last couple. I've had two snowstorms, snowstorms. Had one snowstorm, we'll call it, one snow event or whatever, yesterday morning, Friday morning. I don't know. They all blend together. But
Gotcha.
yeah, I'm not getting used to it. I'm never going to get used to it. I'm going to try to head back as soon as I can, but it is what it is for right now, so.
Absolutely. You know, what I remember as a kid, or at least when I was up in North Carolina, you get out of the hot room into the hot shower, out of the hot shower into the hot car. You just
Yep.
kind of plan your day around where heat's going to be.
Yep. People keep telling me to buy a winter coat, and I'm like, I'm not buying. I'm not giving in. I just want to go from one spot to another. I'm not planning on staying in the hole in the cold weather. Like, if I have to go to a Patriots game, I might buy something. But at this point,
Yeah, I don't think
we're
you got
just
to
going to
worry
keep.
about the Patriots making the playoffs.
No, we're safe there. We're safe there. And then also, I want to include some part of the. I feel like it's one of the most criticized businesses around. So if me and you walk into Best Buy or Target, we don't question the pricing, or we don't tell the manager how things should be running, and we don't talk about the layout of the store. Like, you just go do it. But golf courses, as you know, are just so like, oh, your greens should be, oh, you know what you need to do to fix that, say round whatever thing is called on the greens, or like, hey, you should mark these 2 for 1, and then you get, oh, great, sir. That's good. Thanks.
Oh yeah, and they want to talk about tee boxes, where they need to put cart paths. The guy shouldn't mow over there. Don't have the maintenance guys out on the course at this time. I mean, it's
It's
endless.
good, right? I mean, there's a bunch of topic right there. So I think between those two things, and then I think you lead with, or I'll talk to you. I'll kind of, interview you for the first part about, so Tim, let's talk about what's happened at one of the local golf courses since September. Kind of give me an update, and kind of, and then you kind of go through the different things that have happened over the last 8 weeks, and then you say to me, hey, Sean, I'm on the Facebook page for Oakley Country Club. I heard something happen over the weekend. Can you explain what that was? And make it, it's going to be individual to our circumstances, but also we'll kind of make it as a broad stroke type of thing for golf courses in general and all the trail, travails that come with it. So.
Absolutely. And I think you having over 20 years experience as a GM can definitely, talk about the business highlights of it and what people imagine can happen and what is reality.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get started here.